This is Karen Testerman. We're back with We Hold These Truths, and in studio we have Mary Murphy, our financial expert, and Dr. Julianne Cooper from Liberty Harbor Academy up in Manchester, that is a different kind of approach to schooling, one that really encourages the students to come in at their own level and to then expand and continue to grow, and I really believe to achieve their maximum potential while they're there.
That's our goal, is to have that happen, yes.
Well, Julianne, so you also don't think that, or I've heard you say, that not all students, if they have a good solid foundation in their education, need to go on to college. Would you explain that?
Yes, I'll be glad to. We have set up in this country this concept that you can't get a job unless you have a college degree. And what's happening is many, many jobs are going for want of people to fill them because our students are into colleges and don't need to be. I taught at a university. I taught at three different universities before I founded this school. And as the years went on, I taught 25 years in higher education. As the years went on, I found more and more students who needed to be doing something else besides going to college. And I think part of the issue that we have, especially now, college education has gone up 1,000% in the last 20 years, which is ridiculous. We have kids graduating with degrees and no education, and they can't get jobs, and they're back home, and they have to make payments. I have one person working for me who has $100,000 in debt. I mean, that's a house, for heaven's sakes.
And you're only earning $30,000 a year?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's impossible, and we're not telling people this. So we have, and plus if you look at people like Bill Gates or a number of very
Thomas Edison.
Oh, all of them.
I mean, there's numerous ones.
They were perfectly capable without the college education of making a life for themselves. And I think we have a lot of students who are capable of that.
Yeah. In fact, here's a statistic that backs you up on that. I was looking at the unemployment data that just came out last week and was stunned to see that 53% of college graduates are currently underemployed. That's
right.
A problem.
Well, but underemployed means that they expect, because they have a college degree, to have some higher level of employment. And we've been telling these kids, if you get a college degree, you will get paid far more. But they're not. They're not capable of taking on the jobs.
And in contrast to what used to happen prior to the government coming in and taking over and telling you they're going to help you do all of these things, and including pay off your college loans, which are not forgivable. But I know people who used to get together, I mean, immigrants that came over to this country, people who were also American citizens who would sit down and say, look, I've got to make a car payment, I have to make my mortgage payment, I have to put food on the table, and I can't do it with what I'm getting from one job. So I'll take two jobs.
Right.
And I'll take anything that I can get that will give me the money that I need to do here. And maybe it's not in my field, but I'll take that job so I can, I'll clean houses, I'll go serve at McDonald's, but people don't do that anymore.
People are not willing to do that anymore because they have been sold a bill of goods about you go to college and you get a college degree and you can wear fancy suits, drive fancy cars, and get an expense account. And it's just not true.
Well, and here's another statistic for you. I know you laugh at me because you think I'm encyclopedic, which I probably am at this
you
point.
You are.
But I just read another article which talked about the surplus of attorneys that we have in this country. We're pumping out 44,000 a year, give or take, and for which there's only 22,000 openings. And so that's just one example of the disconnect between market demand for certain skills and what our educational institutions are currently producing. And I would argue that part of that is just, again, a lack of partnership, if you will, between business and the education system. And I think that there is some progress being shown here. I know that the Gates Foundation is involved with an inner city school in New York and is trying to change the way instruction is delivered at that institution. I know IBM, my former alma mater, has a program where they mentor a specific school, and they're trying to increase, you know, computer literacy, if you will, in young people. But there's not enough of that, and the guidance counselors typically are grossly outnumbered at the high school level, so they're unable to help, you know, the children make that connection between.
Well, and they're many times uninformed in a lot of areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree.
And the colleges and universities have dumbed down their curriculum to the point, and they, in order to stay in business, there are too many of them, frankly, but in order to stay in business, they need to make sure the kids stay in school even if they're not ready.
It's very interesting to go into your school, Julianne, because when you arrive, people are dressed as if they're in a business setting.
Yes.
The young men are in suits and ties. The young ladies are in skirts and uniforms of some mm-hmm. sort. Yeah.
Well, they have to wear dark slacks or long skirt and white tops, white blouses, modest white blouses. They can wear navy blue sweaters, and we have jackets, Liberty Harbor jackets,
right,
that they can use if they feel chilly. The guys have to wear a white undershirt, white long sleeve shirt and tie, and dark slacks. So, and shoes, both of them have to wear shoes you can polish, no athletic shoes. So they
shoes
get
that
used,
you can polish.
Yes. So they get fun. Used to wearing mature clothes. They're working their way to adulthood, and they should practice wearing adult clothes. So they move socially, but not academically. We separate academics and social skills. So that the academics are a required curriculum for 2 years, and then they do a lot of independent study work. But the social skills, when they have the ability to control themselves, to time manage, to get work done, and to participate as a socially competent adult, they move through a series of levels.
Right. Right.
Now, are your students subject to the same kind of standardized testing?
No, we're a private school.
Okay.
So we do not have to do those, and which is wonderful because we don't have to teach to some kind of standardized test. But our students will have, in order to graduate, have to literally think on their feet for an hour to an audience they don't know and can only turn down two questions over the course of the hour. Otherwise, they have to talk through and answer and make connections. So they have to be good on their feet. They have to really know material. They have to know wide-ranging material, everything from math and science to history and literature. And they have to be able to make connections between those before they're allowed to graduate.
Wow.
It is. It's a challenging curriculum, and I think you've also started designing programs so that the parents can come in and advance themselves as well.
Yes.
Because the kids are starting to
show
them up.
We're actually introducing – we have to warn the parents at the beginning of the year that the students are probably going to come home and challenge because they're practicing challenging ideas as they develop what they want to be – believe. We don't indoctrinate. We allow the students to think and argue, and we encourage them to argue at a number of different ways. We just keep saying, so what is your backup for that? And where are you getting that from? And how do you know that? Why is that important? Why do you think that way? And the kids will finally say, oh, never mind. But the next morning, they're back with another. The kids also don't want to go home. The parents come and wait and wait and wait for the students to get ready. And we did a Saturday morning, mandatory school on Saturday morning if there is any kind of a discipline problem, which we have very few of, and if they haven't gotten papers done because they've been socializing. And the first Saturday that we had Saturday school, we had two students who were required to come and four who came because we knew we were there. So it hasn't worked as a discipline as well as we thought it might. So we might have to rethink that. The students just like to be there.
That's great.
It is. It is. But, you know, one of the things you said sparked a little thought in my mind that you said that college tuitions have gotten ridiculous. And I did speak to a gentleman yesterday who was complaining about the fact that he had just had to write a $54,000 check for the year for his college student, which it is outrageous, or it seems to be outrageous. But the other factor is that this, it seems like college education is growing faster than the CPI index, or the CPI, which is the consumer price index.
Mm-hmm.
The government now calculates that in a different way and does not include housing and food. Now, that doesn't make sense to me. It's sort of like when the schools are calculating how much it costs to educate a student and they don't include the cost of the building or the cost of the transportation. Somehow it doesn't compute that we're not comparing apples to apples and what the real cost is. And so when you really look at college educations and what's going on and try to compare it to the CPI, it does not compute. And in reality, the cost of college education is probably truer to what it's costing us to live on a normal basis.
Well, the colleges have also become overburdened with administrators. And at one point, at one of the colleges where I recently taught, the number of administrators topped the number of faculty and continued. I mean, if you're in the business to teach, then... And part of this is government regulations. You have to have people who keep up with all of the government regulations and keep up with all the forms and all the things that have to be done.
Fascinating thing about that is that if you really look at the Constitution and go back and read it, the Department of Education is not constitutional.
No. And we need to think about that. And parents need to start to think about how they're educating their young people, because abdicating the control of education to the state is what we've been talked into by the state,
and which is why they want to introduce preschool. Yes. Mandatory preschool education, and it's ridiculous. When they made kindergarten mandatory, in fact, it was ridiculous.
The Head Start hasn't worked. They've actually had to say the Head Start did not work.
Correct, but when they mandated kindergarten a couple of years ago, 80% of the children in New Hampshire who were kindergarten age were already attending private schools. So they were going after the 20% and now making it, and in the process, undercutting business, free enterprise business, because of all of the small schools that were in operation, because people were sending their children to kindergarten.
Right.
There are some glimmers of light, though. I mean, we can't paint a completely dire picture here.
Thank you, Mary.
Usually I'm the dire one, so I'm kind of surprised I'm the one that's surfacing this. But I read recently that there's one school system, I can't remember which state it's in, but they were going to try and have a significant consequence, which I believe was that they were not going to promote a child to the next grade if they did not score at a certain level, you know, on some of these standardized tests. And again, you and I agree that there are some issues, Julianne, with the standardized testing, because it's all about, like, how do you design the tests and does it reflect what the kid really needs to know? But be that as it may, we need some kind of measurable way to see if we are, you know, producing a good product from our education system. And so what this school district is attempting to do is and I actually experienced this. I used to have to monitor some of these standardized tests when I was at West. And you'd have some of the kids just filling in the bubble sheets, which are the answer keys, in pretty patterns. Like, they actually weren't taking the test. They were just, you know, and a lot of times it was, you know, special needs kids that were severely challenged. So I get that they're under stress. I get that, you know, it is pretty much a, you know, useless exercise for them. But nevertheless, they're dragging down, like, the numbers for the rest of the population. So then it becomes impossible to actually accurately measure, like, how are the teachers doing, you know, how is the curriculum working out in terms of producing a student who's going to be able to compete in a global economy. And so I think if we could try and find something that everybody could agree on, well, maybe not everybody will agree on anything, but we need something to be able to measure the outcomes from our educational system at all levels. And I just don't, you know, I don't see that that's happening. I see, like, little pockets where they're attempting to do so. And I think they're hoping as well that this will help with some of the discipline problems that are you know, we've made education a right, not a privilege. The minute we did that, we broke it from a discipline perspective.
Oh, absolutely.
And my teacher friends are constantly complaining that, you know, 60% of their job is disciplinarian and 40% is instruction. You
right.
know, and that's
at,
a problem.
At one time when you went to the government schools, you were it was a privilege to be there. And if you didn't make it and you were a discipline problem or anything like that, then you were asked to leave, and your parents had to either pay for private education. If that didn't work, then you went to the parochial schools and hoped that the nuns could get you in under shape. And if you didn't, then you ended up in juvenile hall. And I think that it's important that we start thinking back in that realm. And again, going back to the Constitution, we live in a republic, and the republic is really dependent upon local control, not top down. And we've sort of turned the basket upside down and can't understand why all of these students are falling out and with nowhere to go. And in reality, we need to reverse that back again and put it back down at the local control and get rid of the top-down unconstitutional Department of Education. And even at the state level, the only reason that you the only purpose really for the Department of Education should be to collect numbers and say you were either doing or not doing the level of education. And I always maintain that the classroom teacher ought to be told, you're at this level. We expect your children to be able to compute at this level, to be able to write at this level, to be able to read at this level, and to be able to, you know, do your science and so forth. None of the social engineering stuff. And then turn it over to the classroom teacher, because she or he now knows what the capabilities are and the of their students, and they can now tailor make it for those students. And we get a whole lot of bureaucracy out of the way.
But we're moving to a system where everyone uses the same syllabus. Everyone uses this, has to teach the same courses on the same day and the same way. At the same time across the school system. And their teachers are just not that uniform in the way they teach, the way they understand, and neither are the students. We're with this industrial model of producing X number of outcome because you were born in a certain year and you move through a certain amount of seat time is completely ridiculous. It's outmoded. It's ridiculous.
Well, we have to take another quick break, but before I do, I want to remind you that there is a winter storm watch that will remain in effect from Friday morning through Saturday afternoon. And there is a heavy storm with lots of snow and gusty winds, and, you know, we're talking about blizzard. And now we'll be back with Rehold These Truths, Mary Murphy, our financial expert, and Dr. Julianne Cooper from Liberty Harbor Academy. Oh.